ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, March 29th, 2017. Today, good afternoon, Al.
Well, Melody.
Let's go right into the market report. We're running a little behind today, and we do have Wendy Wilson joining us for the first segment of the program today. So let's go to gold. Gold is up $130 today at $1,253.60. Silver is up $02 at $18.29. Platinum was up a dollar at $959. Palladium was down a dollar at $794. The USDX today, higher, 0.25, 99.94. Crude oil was up a whole dollar, 0.07 for crude oil, 49.44. Paper markets today, pressure on the Dow, 41 points, 20,659. The NASDAQ was up 22, 5,897. And the S&P was also up 2, at 2,361. The 10-year yield was down 0.02 at 2.39%. And, of course, the euro was lower by 0.42 at 108. European and Asian markets were higher. And the Fear and Greed Index, the number, 34. So not a lot of rise there. With the markets for the NASDAQ and the S&P being higher. 1-800-375-4188 here at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. We have Wendy Wilson joining us from Apothecary Herbs, as she does every Wednesday. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody, and hello, Al.
Hello, Wendy.
Thought we'd talk about testosterone today. We've talked about it before, but there's some new things that have kind of cropped up regarding the synthetic hormone treatment that a lot of people seek. We have about 4 to 5 million U.S. American men suffering from testosterone hormone issues, and about 5% seek medical treatment at their doctor's office, and they get the artificial hormone treatment therapy. Now, the American Medical Association assumes that all men are going to have a testosterone level problem as they get older, starting at as early age as 30. They call it male menopause. The medical term is andropause. So we're going to see if there's some natural solutions for this, and we can sidestep a lot of the risk that is associated with the pharmaceutical hormone treatment. Most adults are aware, you know, changes in hormones can promote various symptoms with the women. We're very familiar with the hot flashes during menopause, but men can also experience some symptoms when their hormones are not imbalanced. Their libido can take a dip. They can have erectile dysfunction issues. Mood changes where they're a bit irritable or depressed. They can have fatigue, weight gain, reduced muscle mass, and reduced strength. Cognitive issues like lack of concentration or memory problems, and even osteoporosis. So men that have the low testosterone, you've probably seen the commercials, they call it low T. Often when you have that problem, men will tend to gravitate to some comfort foods that, you know, comfort them and usually have high amounts of sugar. So try to avoid that. And kind of shift over to the Mediterranean diet. It has lots of amino acids and omega-3 fatty acids, along with some regular exercises with some strength training, can help combat the effects of low testosterone while you rebalance. And we're going to give you some tips on some natural ways to do that. But first, let's look at this FDA-approved hormone replacement. They come in various forms. Men can get injections, patches, and underarm gels. And the hormones are kind of they're complex agents in the body. And scientific medicine admits that trying to balance these hormones with synthetic ones is tricky business and does offer side effects. So according to Dr. Joseph Mercola, even if your libido takes a dive and your energy is not quite as it used to be, it doesn't always mean that your hormone issues are engaged. So new scientific research is suggesting not all men will have the same hormone requirements with regard to testosterone. So it's real important to, if you get tested, make sure you get a good doctor who knows what he's doing. Let's look at some of the side effects real quick. According to not just one or two, but according to 7 clinical trial studies, it found that men, when they take the hormone replacement medications for a year or more, it will increase their risk of cardiovascular events. So synthetic hormones create this plaque in the arteries, increasing the chance of heart attack by 20%. The British Heart Foundation did a study on testosterone drugs at the University of Edinburgh, and they found that the drugs affect the blood vessel tissue. So when testosterone drugs are used, they gave them to mice, and it created this bone-like deposit or calcification. So this made the researchers wonder about men who were dying from cardiovascular events while they were taking hormone replacement medicines. So what they did is they went back and they looked at the heart tissue of these men who had died while on the hormones, and they found the same bone-like deposits which tested positive for testosterone receptors. So what the testosterone drugs seem to be doing is they cause the blood vessels to calcify, harden, and thicken, and also this increases the risk of heart attack and stroke. But further examination of the heart, the researchers found it calcified the heart valves, preventing them from opening and closing properly, which puts you at risk of needing a heart transplant. So, however, natural occurring testosterone doesn't promote calcification of the coronary system. So, really big discovery there for the replacement hormones for guys. Any questions yet?
Yeah, you're talking about side effects for one thing. If you're taking synthetic hormones over a period of a year or more, whatever, are these side effects something that you can determine, or are these side effects, do you have to go back to the doctor every 90 days or 6 months to be monitored?
Well, that was a question I had. So I did some more digging, and another study showed that men that were 65 years or older who did not have heart disease actually doubled their risk of having a heart attack because of this calcification within the first 3 months of use, which was scary. And then they also said younger men who did have heart disease also doubled their risk within the first 3 months of use. And also the other cardio events they listed were unstable angina and stroke. So whether it's 3 months to a year, usually long-term use of a medication clinically defined is a year or more. So, but what they're saying is it only takes 3 months for the damage to start.
But the point being is you need some sort of do some people not have the damage? They take the synthetic hormones, they don't have the damage, or is this pretty much across the board?
No, this is across the board is what they're saying. I know.
They should give you a free heart replacement with every year's subscription.
Well, and mind you, all these tests that they use have a 20% error factor built into them. So if they're saying you have a 20% risk of cardiovascular events, it could be as high as 40%. So November in 2015, the American Psychological Society found that aside from the cardiovascular risk, these hormone replacement drugs also pose a risk to the kidneys, causing renal failure. So especially if men were on high blood pressure medicines, it seemed to exacerbate that area. It also put them at the risk of what they call metabolic diseases. So high blood pressure and high cholesterol and things like that. Now, the FDA in 2016 did issue new warnings for the testosterone medications. The health risks they listed were heart attack, stroke, liver toxicity, male infertility, behavioral changes including hostility, aggression, depression, and sleep apnea. Now, here again, we just talked, was it the other week, about they found that the hormones from the thyroid influence neurotransmitters that affect your sleep cycle and breathing during sleep, that also affects sleep apnea. So hormones have something to do with sleep apnea.
Well, tell us what apnea means.
Oh, sleep apnea is when people have that really loud snoring, and it's because they stop breathing many, many times per night, and they usually have this loud snore that they try to, you know, gasp even for air. It may or may not wake them up, but it's really magnified snoring, and medicine really doesn't have any cure for it. They try to deal with the symptoms of it, but they really don't know what's causing it. But now we've got two studies pointing to hormones that seem to affect sleep apnea. Now, some of the other issues that the FDA also warned about is if you're on these hormone drugs, you could have withdrawal symptoms when you come off them. So it's going to be real important to have your doctor guide you if you're coming off. You can have fatigue, weight loss, sudden loss of appetite, insomnia, decreased libido, and irritability. So real important to make sure if you're coming off those drugs, if you've been on them a while, to get some help doing that. Now, the other thing that was really interesting that sometimes physicians don't answer unless you ask them specifically is that these hormones are very tricky business, and if they get the hormone dose wrong, it'll throw the other hormones off, like estrogen. So males that get too much testosterone, it converts to estrogen. And this causes more mood swings, being very over-emotional, having edema or fluid retention, high blood pressure, breast sensitivity and breast enlargement, oily skin and acne, hair loss, increased risk of prostate cancer, testicular shrinkage, and an increase in red blood cell production, which can increase the risk of heart attack, clots, and stroke. So, you know, a lot of times when you talk to your doctor about certain things, risks, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly about drugs, sometimes you have to be specific about your question to get the answers you want. So it's sort of like talking to the government. They don't offer information. You got to ask for it, you know.
And you have to ask in writing with the government.
Well, the other thing to be aware of, if you do decide to go down the road of replacement hormone therapy with your medical doctor, there are other prescription drugs that also lower your testosterone, and you should be aware of these so they may not mix very well. Statin or cholesterol-lowering drugs don't mix well with the hormone replacement, as well as any kind of medication that's used for athlete's foot, dermatitis, or dandruff. Also, any antihistamines, be careful. Opioid drugs or even street drugs, careful there, as well as steroid meds and antidepressants. So you got to be aware of what you're taking, what you're mixing, and check with your medical doctor. But there was an interesting study out of Germany in 2012. University of Bonn published a study on how these synthetic hormones affect men's social behavior. Aside from the hormonal drugs, you know, causing the aggressive and sometimes risky behavior, they also noted it fosters honesty in men. I thought this was interesting. So it's not to say your hormone replacement drugs become a truth serum.
These things are dangerous. That's what there's heart attack and telling the truth. And I mean, my God, how can you make it in this society?
Yeah, I know. So according to the research, it seems to reduce the incidence of lying, according to them. I thought that was great. And now, also, the year before that, the University of Cambridge tested testosterone and the effects on emotional and social behavior. Their report was published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Science, and their hormone level research says it influences behavior in the area of the emotion of empathy. So it affects someone's empathy. And I thought that was very, very...
So which way does it make you, more empathetic or less?
Well, less. And so I'm thinking, well, if you're a narcissist and you're taking this, how low can you go? I don't know. But I think if people just did their homework on a lot of stuff, they can sidestep a lot of these problems. Obviously, medicine is still searching for answers regarding hormones and how they work. They admit that they don't know enough about hormones to be able really to be prescribing any, in my opinion. But what I like to do is use herbs that have a track record of supplying nutrition to the endocrine system, and the endocrine system manufactures the hormones for us in the right amount for us at our particular time of life. So for instance, the female herbs for women would help them manufacture the right amount of hormones so they'd have a smooth transition through, let's say, menopause. For men, the same thing. It would help them through their transition where they're not making as much testosterone, but they're not having so little of it that it's affecting them in the way they function. So I like to use the male hormones, the male herbs to help the body with hormones, the American ginseng, the Siberian ginseng, sarsaparilla, saw palmetto, and cardamom. Now, if you use some of them and you haven't gotten results, it's because you have to use them all together. Same thing with the female herbs. There's six of them. If you don't use them all together, you don't get the effect. So if people are interested, the folks at Apothecary Herbs have a male hormone formula made from these herbs. It's not hormone replacement per se, but it is plant nutrition in its whole food state to help your system balance. And they can call and request. We also have the prostate kit and the male organ cleanse package.
All right. Do you have anything else that we could talk about for 45 seconds?
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. You want to keep in mind, God has said herbs are here for the service of man and for the healing of the nations. So we can tap into that healing power for ourselves. So it's really putting the power back in your hands. And, of course, watch the lifestyle. Try not to eat a lot of foods with, high fructose corn syrup in it and all that other stuff. But if you just take a proactive approach, your healthcare options are pretty endless. If you want to take that power back, you can. And we try to educate people on how to do that. Our new catalog, our new edition just came out this week, and they can request a new one. The toll-free number to get one is 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663, or they can download a version right off our website at thepowerherbs.com.
All right, Wendy, thanks very much. Certainly interesting, a little surprising, even shocking information. Look forward to talking to you next Wednesday. It's Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com, 866-229-3663. We'll be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE. csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
I'm Alfred Addis, Carrot's Financial Survival with Melody Cedarstrom. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. Melody was just complimenting me. She was pleased to see that we could talk about testosterone, natural increase in testosterone without and still behave like adults.
Amazing.
Well, if it lasts another five minutes, I had a couple of jokes I was going to use. I don't think I could have kept them back for more another 5 minutes. But nevertheless, we were acting as adults.
Unfortunately, I would have had to join in also because we could write a new book. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Hey, we got a nice little special today. We're going to continue with the one from yesterday, but the new one today is 90% silver. I have some 90% silver in, folks. $25 face value and a 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle. It includes your shipping costs, $500. Pretty nice little package. $25 face value of 90% silver, a 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle. Includes your shipping costs, $500. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com.
So now, what's next, Melody?
I don't
know. You're waiting for me. Not only I have to be the adult in two segments of the program. When do I bring out my inner child, Melody? I have to be responsible for 40 minutes on this program. I don't know if I can do that or not.
I'm going to be kind, so I'm not going to.
All right, here's something from Gains, Pains, and Capital, and the headline is: Did the top for the first half of 2017 just hit? Said markets do not react to what everyone knows. Markets react to surprises. I'd say that's true. All right. That's an obvious statement when you stop to think about it. It's obvious, but it's something that probably doesn't cross a lot of people's mind. It hadn't crossed mine previously. Yeah, we don't react to what everybody knows. We do react to surprises, whatever they are. And they say the surprise today is that the Trump administration will not be able to implement rapid reform. Since election night, the stock market has assumed that President Trump would somehow repeal Obamacare, reform the tax code, and announce a massive infrastructure project almost immediately. The truth is that whatever Trump is able to accomplish regarding these issues will take place in late 2017, if not early 2018. Trump's top economic advisor, Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin, confirmed this in a media interview earlier this month. However, the market was too caught up in all the hype to care. The failure to even get a vote on Obamacare repeal in the House is a wake-up call. Stocks will now begin to adjust to the fact that all reform, major policy changes will be taking place months down the road. That adjustment will see stocks moving in that red circle shortly, and by red circle I assume they are referring to a decline. But that's the implication, and I think it's not exactly news, but it makes a couple of points in a way that's clear and a little bit insightful. Stocks will now begin to adjust to the fact that all reform, major policy changes will be taking place months down the road. I think it's true. I think it's true. And as a result, the stocks will tend to, whatever impetus Trump has been able to provide, stimulus he's been able to provide for the stock markets, we can expect that the force of that stimulus is going to wither. It's going to diminish, and we can expect the markets to decline. Not necessarily, I'm not arguing that it's going to crash, but I'm going to say, you know, step by step, downward.
I don't know how insightful this is, but I mean, we've talked about it plenty of times with this program. It was going to be difficult to get things through in a very early time. And, you know, to get these big changes done, I mean, that's not to say to not support the administration, but to get these big changes done within weeks or a couple months, I mean, did anybody really think that would be done?
Yes.
There was a lot of hope it would be done, but yep. When you're trying to look for a $1 trillion infrastructure package, if you're trying to look at to actually repeal and replace Obamacare, I mean, the administration has done.
Yeah, but we really believed Obamacare.
The administration has done some good things already, but that doesn't get talked about. I mean, he has passed some good legislation already and executive orders that are good. But no one talks about them. Even the administration doesn't talk about them. And so there was three things everything was focused on. And
Trump himself said in one of his tweets, who would have thought repealing Obamacare would be so complicated?
Well,
everyone, he went into office, everyone thought it was pretty much a situation where he would sign an executive order that afternoon and Obamacare would be done. Now, that is an exaggeration to some extent, but we thought, you know, Trump, the businessman, knows how to get things done, walked into Congress, and it turns out maybe not. Maybe you don't have that. Maybe that knowledge doesn't count.
There is a bill from a senator. I talked about, Beth brought it up this morning on a program I was on. It's pretty much a two sentence, you know, effective such and such a date, December 2017, Obamacare will no longer exist. I mean, it's that easy to stop it. It's that easy to repeal it. But they need to replace it. They really don't need to replace it. We would all go back to the same system that we had before if that system even exists anymore. We're not sure if that system exists because you had Obamacare take over.
System we had before, which is buying our drugs in Mexico and getting our operations in Canada.
It's easy to repeal it. You know, it's just a matter of whether they want to replace it or not that's difficult.
That's the problem. The problem is there are so many people who've got their fingers in a pie and they're making a buck and there's, oh my God, we'll go broke if we repeal this. And they are giving money to congressmen and senators and whatever to hang on to the existing. They don't want to be removed from the feed trough.
Well, it'd be interesting to know, I don't know if there's any study on this, of how much money came into the economy with Obamacare. And I don't mean, you know, the increased premiums and so forth, but you have a lot of people that might have paid for their insurance previously and then got subsidies, which freed up some income on their part. And usually that group of folks are the ones that, you know, are out there spending. You know, they do a lot of spending. They might not buy big ticket items, but they're out there buying a lot of items. So I wonder if that had anything really to do with, you know, some of the little bit of turnaround that this economy has seen. I'm not saying it's the big one and so forth, but it'd be interesting to see if there was a study done on that to see if it had any impact at all.
Got an article here from 24H Gold. And it's quoted from other sources. It was originally written by Wolf Richter. And I've got part of the article here. How many jobs do robots destroy? Answers emerge. That's the headline. How many jobs do robots, whether mechanical robots or software, destroy? Do these destroyed jobs get replaced by the great American economy with better jobs? That's the big discussion these days. The answers have been soothing. Economists cite the Industrial Revolution. At the time, most humans replaced by machines found better paid, more productive, less back-breaking jobs. Productivity soared, and a society overall, after some big dislocations, came out ahead. The same principle applies today, according to economists, or at least a lot of them. But this isn't the Industrial Revolution. These days, robots and algorithms are everywhere, replacing not just manufacturing jobs, but jobs of all kinds, including those in air-conditioned offices that pay big salaries and fat bonuses. job destruction due to automation is not a blue-collar thing anymore. It's everywhere. And for each job that's destroyed by robots, the great American economy, the soothsayers, the economists that are trying to tell everyone to be calm, this will all work out, they're telling us that for each destroyed job, the great American economy will generate more and better jobs because that's how it worked in the Industrial Revolution. The two economists have changed their mind. They previously argued that, yeah, we'll be better off for having this robotization, but now they're sitting back and they're saying, They published what's described as a gloomy working paper at the National Bureau of Economic Research. And the authors found large and robust negative effects of robots on employment and wages across commuting zones. And by commuting zones, I think what they mean is, if you were to talk about Chicago, for example, you wouldn't necessarily be talking only about the economy that's found within the city limits of Chicago. You'd be talking about the economy that might extend out 50 miles from Chicago, a distance that people might commute on a daily basis going back and forth. They said there's two effects of robots. One is a displacement effect when robots eliminate jobs, and there's a productivity effect as other industries or tasks require labor and thus create jobs. For example, designing, making, maintaining robots, yada yada. But these productivity effects no longer suffice to compensate for jobs that industrial robots destroyed. Now we're getting to the guts of this thing, some numbers that are actually scary. All right. Specifically, this report found that in a commuting zone with exposure to robots versus commuting zone without exposure to robots, each additional robot reduces employment by a net of 6.2 workers. When they put a robot to work, right, it doesn't replace one man. On average, it replaces six. Now that's scary. And they go on and they say, each additional robot per 1,000 workers reduces wages by 0.73%. If we add 5 robots per 1,000 workers, the average wage is going to go down 3.5%. That is certainly disturbing and more than a little bit scary for a lot of people. If the ratio of robots per 1,000 workers rises from 1 robot per 1,000 workers to 5 robots per 1,000 workers, wages would tumble by 2% nationally. 2014, there were 1.7 robots per 1,000 workers in the United States, up from about 7/10 of a robot per 1,000 workers in 2000. Auto manufacturing is the leader in the use of industrial robots. Other sectors include electronics, metal products, plastics, and chemicals. Between 1990 and 2007, industrial robots eliminated a net 670,000 jobs. Industrial robots. That's all the time. We're not talking about there's other robots that were eliminated by the robots or other jobs eliminated by robots, but industrial jobs. From 1990 to 2007, we lost 670,000 jobs. However, manufacturing output adjusted for inflation soared due to automation until 2007. So we're putting these robots to work. They're putting some people out of jobs, but they're increasing manufacturing output, and in theory, that can make more products available to more people at lower prices, and perhaps this balances out and we have a happy ending. Manufacturing output, adjusted for inflation, soared due to automation until 2007. However, during the Great Recession, output crashed. It has finally edged past its prior peak. But the number of industrial robots in the United States is expected to quadruple So job losses in manufacturing will continue even if output rises. And the sum of all of this, it's articulating some of the ideas that we've talked about on the program in the past, that we talked about it in general terms. Didn't have the details, just had a certain amount of common sense. These robots are going to do some damage.
No kidding, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
This is serious business. This is serious business. And they can't be resisted. There's nothing to be done about it, because if your business doesn't use robots and a competitor does, even if that competitor is located in China or India or wherever, they're going to be able to produce more product at lower prices, and they're going to put you out of business. There is a compulsion behind the implementation of robots that is
more money, more money, more money.
If you want to stay in business, you're going to have to get robots.
More money, more money, more money. And that's what it's all about. You eliminate the people. You don't have to pay them wages, benefits, everything else that comes with it, maternity leave. You know, all these workers, all these years, they want more, 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 and more. And well, eventually they're just getting, you know, eased out of their jobs.
They want more. The corporate
technology is so great.
Employers want more. Everybody wants more.
Jeez.
Right, but this robot business is not just about wanting more.
Of course, it's a big part of it.
It's a big part of it. But the point is, everybody wants more. But if one guy starts using robots, all of his competitors, they must follow suit, or they're going to be put out of business.
I'm just not going to say Americans, but the people around the world accept it. You know, when you go in, you know, they had little kiosks at gas stations where you go in and hit the picture of a hamburger if you want to order a hamburger. You know what? People should say, you know what? I don't want to order from a kiosk. I want to talk to somebody. Look how many some of these service jobs came back, you know, because people didn't want to talk to people from India, and people didn't want to talk from, you know, Lord knows. Well, I'm not saying they all came back, but there was, you know, some did. People didn't want to talk to these people, and they made it a point. Every time you got somebody that you couldn't understand, you said, you know what? Give me somebody that speaks English. Give me somebody. And you know what? That's what people have to do. And, you know, these CEOs, the CEO, Greg Creed, he was on CNBC yesterday. You know, he's the Yum Brands, which is Pizza Hut, KFC, Taco Bell. They've already set up automated kiosks in China. He says there's even in Pizza Hut, they have customers are greeted by a robot. And, you know, he said the stupidest things. He said, that doesn't mean humans will be obsolete. We don't make a lot
of... They just won't have jobs or food.
Let me finish the statement. He says, that doesn't mean humans will be obsolete. We don't make a lot of things until customers order. I'm not sure we're going to have robots replace people. It's like, hello, how can customers order when they don't have a job to make the money to buy the things that they want or need? I mean, it's like, are you kidding me? I mean, these...
Well, I tell you what, Melody, we'll have to talk about the kidding when we return after a couple of commercials. Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned. On the line, I need to hear it just one more time.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97%. Of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom, Financial Survival. Got an article here from the Associated Press. U.S. consumer confidence hits 16-year high. Consumer confidence right now is the highest it's been since 2000. U.S. consumer confidence climbed to its highest level in more than 16 years, a strong gain for one of President Donald Trump's preferred economic indicators. The conference board said Tuesday that its consumer confidence index rose to 125.6 in March from 116.1 in February, the best reading since December of 2000. So, does that mean happy days are here again, Melody? The consumers are all optimistic.
But they're also anticipating an increase in their incomes.
They're anticipating a bunch of things, they're comparing this. This is the best reading since 2000. And what's interesting about it is if you go back and look at 2000, you discover, well, when we had a recession in the European Union from 2000 to 2001, and in the United States from 2002 through 2003. So the consumers, we'll get to this in a moment, but just to deal with what happened in 2002 in the wake of this consumer optimism and the coming following recession, the price of gold rose about 25%. In 2003, the price of gold in the United States rose by 23%. So what we're saying here is this consumer confidence isn't quite what it's cracked up to be. And the article goes ahead and it says the index measures both the consumer's assessment of our current conditions and their expectations for the future. Both improved this month. Implications of all of this is that consumers aren't all that bright. They're the kind of people who buy high and sell low. And when they are ultimately very confident, may be exactly a signal to you better hang on tight because it's about to blow up in everybody's face. The consumer confidence index highs are usually evidence of a coming recession, and lows are evidence of a coming bull market. Consumers are what some might call useful idiots. They're not smart enough to correctly read the markets, and they are therefore idiots. But they're also useful because when most consumers agree on anything, if they're all high or they're all low, you can bet they're wrong. All right? You can bet that when 70% and 80% of the consumers say, yes, sir, it's all going to be good from here on, they're wrong. If 70, 80% say, no, sir, it's all going to blow up, we're all going to die, they're wrong. All right? You can bet against the consumers. Now, most of the consumer confidence index is at a moderate level. But when you get to these peaks and valleys, it may be that it's an indication that the economy is about to change exactly the way the consumers don't want it to change and the consumers don't anticipate. Whenever consumer sentiment is at a record high or record low, you can bet that they're wrong. You can reasonably invest against their sentiment and probably make some money. And this is exactly parallels the idea of contrarian investing, which is you buy low and you sell high. And when you buy and the price is low, it's because everybody says the product is worthless and it can't possibly get better. That's when the consumers have lost optimism. All right, their confidence has waned, at least in relationship to the particular investment. There's a good chance that the consumers, even a high probability that the consumers are wrong. Likewise, when all the consumers get together and say, yippee, happy days are here again, chances are we are sitting on the edge of a recession. The article continues. It says a renewed optimism suggests the possibility of some upside to the prospects for economic growth in the coming months, said Lynn Franco, director of economic indicators for the business group. Well, maybe it suggests the possibility. I mean, that's interesting language, suggests the possibility. Things could get better, and that's true. They could. But odds are, if I had to guess, we're going to see a repeat of the last consumer high in 2000, which was followed shortly thereafter by a recession in Europe and then a recession in the United States, and the price of gold rose by almost 50% in 2 years.
Well, prior
it
to
may
not-
be that it may be that consumer confidence really, it could be used perhaps, I'd have to look at it more closely, but it might be a good indicator of when to buy gold. When everybody's saying, forget it, don't do it, don't buy it, it's stupid. We're optimistic, the economy's going to run. Get your gold. When they're all saying, you know, the world is coming to an end, the consumers believe that, maybe they're wrong. And I don't know what the odds are. I don't suppose the consumers are always wrong, but they can be. And there's a good, and it is consistent with the idea of contrarian investment that they typically would be. So.
I wouldn't call what we have now a bull market. I just call it a stock rising. But yes, the last phase of a bull market is when you have the general populace come in, whether it be by purchasing optimism and so forth. We've seen a lot of numbers that are compare this to 2007, where the peaks are there, the numbers are there, they're matching to, you know, to all the signs are there to what it was. And you're right, the dot-com bust of 2000, we started into a recession prior to 9/11. You had airlines that were ready to go bankrupt. You had a lot of things that were happening prior to 9/11. We didn't officially go into it because 9/11 erupted the recession that we were heading into. And during 9/11, if everyone remembers or cares to remember, you had the markets were closed. Gold was closed, but it came back first. Gold market opened days before the stock markets opened to trade. So again, I think we'll see this again in the future. If markets are closed for any particular reason, gold comes back first. Now, one thing they did to the gold market is the spot market used to close at 3:30. During 9/11, when it came back on, they shortened the trading day to 1:30. And they never brought it, they never changed it. So now we have a 1:30 spot market close on the day. So, then we went into the recession. Remember, everyone got a check. What, remember, government sent out $600 checks or something to people after 9/11. You had Rush Limbaugh go out there and shop, be patriotic, go out and buy. And everyone did. And then, of course, we had all the problems later on in 2008, 9, and 10. So, optimism is, you know, one of the last phases of, when everybody gets together and thinks that it's going to go on forever. And guess what? It isn't.
This is something, you know, I'm making a little bit of fun of consumers, and we're all consumers to greater or lesser degree. But you weigh that consumer against the producer, all right? They should have a producer's index, a producer's confidence index, and maybe they do. I don't know. It's not something I know about.
Productivity, yeah. They have productivity numbers.
Well, not just productivity numbers, but what do the producers, the people who produce, not merely consume, the people who produce, that would be not government employees, that would not be people on welfare, it'd be the people who actually have jobs and make a productive contribution.
You think it's going to go, they're part of the, they're part of the optimism.
I don't know
general,
if they are.
Absolutely.
I don't
general,
know they are, but it would be interesting to find out.
Well, let me tell you. During General Motors, before they were ready to go belly up, before we went into 2008, I have lots and lots of clients from General Motors. And I heard day in and day out, you know, I try to talk to my fellow employee about what's going on, and they just believe it's going to go on forever. They think General Motors is too big to fail. And that was before too big to fail was even mentioned. That it's just going to go on. The pensions are always going to go on. Everything is great and so forth and whatnot. So no, those who have jobs, those who are getting paid, they're the ones that are out there buying the houses, buying the cars, buying the boats, buying all the toys that gets the economy heated up, and you know, they go deeper and deeper and deeper in debt to get their little toys. And it's those people that has the most optimism because they can't think that it's going to fail. They think it's going to go on forever. The same ones with the ones in the dot-com bus. You know, they bought their, you know, their little shares. I mean, heck, I couldn't go to the post office without someone telling me to buy Red Hat. I was like, what, are you nuts? Now you want me to buy Red Hat now? When in 5 years, the NASDAQ went from, what, 500 to 1,000 to 5,000? Thanks, but no thanks. And that's where the optimism comes from. That's where that consumer confidence, they think it's going to go on forever.
Well, speaking of optimism, here's a cause for some real, this is a scary story, Melody. Cause for real pessimism. This is from Fox News, and the headline is Shutdown Threat Returns After Obamacare Repeal Meltdown. The specter of another government shutdown is emerging on Capitol Hill, and isn't that scary, Melody? Oh my God, the government, the beloved government might shut down, Melody. What will we do? The sky is truly falling here, ladies and gentlemen. The specter of another government shutdown is emerging on Capitol Hill among concerns that Republican leaders who failed to unite the party last week on an Obamacare overhaul will likewise struggle to finalize a spending package before the April 28th deadline. We should not take things for granted, especially after what happened last week, said Oklahoma GOP Representative Tom Cole. The last thing we need is a self-inflicted crisis. Oh, isn't that brilliant? The last thing we need is a self-inflicted crisis. How did we get here, folks? This is a self-inflicted crisis. It's called fiat currency. We went off the gold standard. It is a self-inflicted crisis. And he goes on, he says, there frankly isn't much time. Oh my gosh, the government might shut down. Voters largely blamed congressional Republicans for the last shutdown in 2013 when they engaged in a budget standoff with Senate Democrats and President Obama over Obamacare funding. Much of the federal government shuttered from October 1st to October 16th. That's not a crisis. That's not a government shutdown. That's a two-week vacation for the people of this country, October 1st to October 16th. If we're going to have a shutdown, it seems to me they should pass a law. If you're going to have a shutdown, it's got to be at least 6 months, all right? Maybe a year. From my perspective, the longer the government's shut down, the better it is. During the fight driven by Tea Party sage Senator Ted Cruz, Republican of Texas, and the Conservative Heritage Foundation, both were influential in sinking House Speaker Paul Ryan's Obamacare overhaul bill this in the last week or so. To avoid a repeat this year, Congress is eyeing a short-term measure known as a continuing resolution. This could bundle the roughly 12 spending bills together, despite Ryan, Republican Wisconsin, pledging last year to end that practice. However, Representative Cole, member of the House Appropriations Committee, which has jurisdiction over the spending bills that fund all federal agencies, voiced concern about this approach and said these should have been done last year. Who's responsible for this, Melody? How come these bills weren't handled last year? Well, that's the end of the report. But you know, let's not have a self-inflicted crisis coming from a congressman. He said, let's not have a self. Are you crazy? I mean, this is Rahm Emanuel and Hillary Clinton will just laugh about that. They'll say, of course we have self-inflicted crises. A crisis is a terrible thing to waste. We manufacture them on a regular basis and hear people say, oh my God, we're going to have a government shutdown. Oh, please. I can only hope we'd have a real government shutdown. If they wanted to do something to really help this country, I mean, Trump is talking about reducing the size of some of the bureaucracies. Why not just shut them down for 6 months and see what happens? Let's roll the dice. That's my opinion, Melody. Do you think we should roll the dice on shutting the government agencies down? Or should we be fearful? Oh my gosh, the government is going to might shut down in the near future.
I don't think it's a matter, again, the world is run by confidence. And if to half the people, it might think it's a better thing and that confidence might grow. But on the other hand, on a worldly basis and global basis, and, you know, I could really care, you still have, once you start that snowball down that hill, all things could, all kinds of things can happen, and it becomes uncontrolled. So I don't know. I guess it depends on which departments you'd close down and so forth, whether it happens.
Oh, this whole thing goes to this budget ceiling and spending limits and the rest of that sort of thing.
Hey,
we are one of two countries in the world that have a spending limit.
If they want to default on the debt, then close down government.
But they can't default on the debt, because if they do, they wipe out all the paper assets.
I know.
They're caught. They can't default on the debt. They can't pay the debt. What are they going to do?
Then they couldn't
close.
What
will
they
do?
Then they couldn't close government.
Well, if they, just in case they do, they could, instead of watching porn,
just like what they did before,
they could listen to Financial Survival.
What they do is they lay off the people that need the money. instead of laying off the politicians, the senators, and the congressmen, send them home.
Yeah,
let them give up their pay and so forth.
Let them be shut down for 6 months.
Shut them down. They're the ones that need to be shut down.
But we need to be shut down too, Melody, because we are out of time. So we'll be back tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. We hope you will tune in at that moment, at that time. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.